talking about Hakim and Hakimi, and these are our lives, because none of these people had any of the traits which are common to nearly all of what's called Sufi today. So since the term was made up, we can't really say, you know, we can't get in an argument about what it means. Does it mean this? Does it mean that? Because it has no reality. It was just, the term itself is an innovation. It was made up by people, different people, and different people attached themselves to it. So if you look at the reality that is Sufism, you will find everything under it. You'll find everything all the way up to and including Shirk Akbar, major shirk, that which removes one from the possibility of ever going to paradise and removes one from being a Muslim. This is quite common, actually, among many, many of those who call themselves Sufi. For example, anyone who goes to the grave of, you know, Wali so-and-so, and asks the Wali for something. His wife wants to get pregnant. He wants... if they go to the grave and they ask the deceased for something, as for example, Shah Naqshband, the founder of the Naqshbandi Tariqa, he instructed his followers when he was still alive that if they go to his grave after his death and ask him for something, that one of three things will happen. He'll make it happen from within his grave, he'll come out of his grave and accomplish it for them, or he will intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will get what they ask for. This is in his book, okay? It's written down. There's no question that this is not Islam. There's no way this could be Islam. It's the extreme polar opposite of Islam. And that's quite common among the millions of people who have accepted this label for themselves of Sufi. It's not universal, but it's common. Then there's a middle road in this particular issue of dead people. There's a middle road, there's people who go to the grave and they say, oh Allah, by the face or by the reputation or by the honor of this noble man in your eyes, I ask you. So the person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it's debatable whether that's Shirk Akbar or not, but that's not really the point. the first one is clear, this one is slightly less clear, but it's clearly... And there's a debate about this. You have to follow it all with you to the end. You will find people who claim there's a hadith, and there isn't. It's a false hadith, number one. Number two, even if it was sahih, it wouldn't prove anything. But that's another story. The simplest way to look at this is, if it was part of Islam to go to the grave of a noble person and ask Allah, by the status of that person with Allah, how big do you think the crowd would have been around the Prophet's grave after he died, and every year? Glaring fact that, you know, nobody did this. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach it to us. Allah did not give it to us in the Quran. No Sahabi did it, absolutely. No. No tabi'i and no tabi'i. Okay? That is our criterion. If you want to know Islam, you don't know Islam from necessarily from people. People will be right sometimes and wrong sometimes. You know Islam from three things. Learn what they are. The Quran. Not some mysteries or hidden meanings in the Quran, but the Quran which you have understood according to the methodology of understanding the Quran, which I assume somebody has taught on this website at some time or other. Following the methodology of tafsir in order, you know, first of course you have to know the Arabic language or else you haven't even started. Tafsir of the Quran by the Quran, tafsir of the Quran by a sound hadith, tafsir of the Quran by a statement of a companion, etc., etc. Followed by the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the da'if hadith in which you can find any kind of nonsense, but the Is that good? It says it's okay. Okay. Makes me mad because he is the best figure. No, I'm not. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own accord. It is nothing but a communication communicated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that's the sunnah. Now, a lot of people stop there. Quran and sunnah, Quran and sunnah. Unfortunately, you can find many people claiming Quran and sunnah. In fact, most of the Sufis, except some of them who reject the sunnah. But in fact, they're lying. And they are not applying the Quran and the sunnah and its ramifications. So we need the third thing. And the third thing is found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, the best of all mankind are my generation, then those who come after them, then those who come after them. So the Prophet ﷺ told us, I think everybody else can hear. Islam, you can't hear? Is everybody else still hearing?
Yeah.
I'm seeing green dots. Assalamu alaikum. Maybe it's gone. Sometimes it's gone. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that there will never be a better generation than those three, which are the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and the Atba'at Tabi'in. That's why you hear those three terms all the time. You could go on, Atba'at Tabi'in, but we don't usually go on because the Prophet ﷺ told us that those three, I'm not going to get it, are the best generations ever. So, once we locate the Quran and its correct tafsir, and the authentic hadith, and we managed to weed out the weak ones and get reliable commentaries from scholars of the Salaf if there's any ambiguity in those hadith, we'll have the first two sources. But if we still have ambiguity or dispute or people talking about, you know, mysteries in the Quran or visiting the dead people and making dua in their name and all this kind of thing, we look to what? We look to the understanding and the practice, the belief and the practice of those generations. Not every single one of them. I'm not saying that there was no corrupt individual for three generations. No, that's not the case. But those generations in general, and of course the well-known, and the specifically endorsed among them. There were 10 among the Sahaba, who the Prophet ﷺ told them they were going to paradise. In fact, there may be actually more, but there's 10 main ones. This is very interesting because when the fitna happened between Aisha and Ali and Muawiyah, there was one of those 10 fighting on each side of that battle. And that's how we know that we as Muslims, even though we know that Ali was closer to the truth than his opponent, it's not our business or our right to condemn any of them. Because of those two individuals, we know that both of those sides were sincere, although one of them was mistaken. Alright, so it's absolutely unacceptable in Islam to take one of those two sides and condemn the other side and say this person was fasiq and he was the enemy of Islam, etc., etc. Absolutely not. We also have the Khulafa Rashidun, first four Khulafa. How do we know about that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the approximate meaning of the hadith that this nation will be in the right way for 30 years. 30 years, give or take a little, is the period of those four khulafa. We didn't just make that up ourselves, you know. We Sunnis didn't make that up to, you know, to get back into Shia or something like that. This is from Rasulullah, because he said this nation will be right for 30 years, and that is the 30 years. Also, there is the first two in particular, which is Abu Bakr and Umar, in case somebody got confused by the Shia and thought, well, I like the four, but I really only like Ali. No. The first two are the superior among those four, because the Prophet ﷺ said in the sound Sahih Hadith, اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي من بعدي أبو بكر وعمر. He said, follow the example of the two who follow me, or who come after me is the meaning, Abu Bakr and Umar. So we have been told to emulate these two in particular among those three of that generation, which is among those three generations, which is among those four Khulafa Rashidun. So, it's very simple to understand whatever we don't find in those generations in the area of Ibadah, because there's nothing new under the sun in Ibadah. I'm not saying that, you know, somebody came up with a new business contract. We can't, oh, you can't do that because the Sahaba didn't do it. That's another long story, but that's misplaced. But in the area of ibadah, anything involving the unseen, for example, to say, you know, oh, well, we believe that the dead person in the grave can do such and such, or can hear such and such, or can help me, oh, blah, blah, blah. This is all unseen. There's no way to know that except through Allah's messengers, through the process of divine communication. So it cannot appear after the departure of Allah's final messenger to mankind. So anybody that comes up with new beliefs, and by beliefs I mean things that involve the unseen, I don't mean somebody's belief that asphalt's better than concrete, but, you know, something involving Allah or the hereafter or any of the unseen, it's completely unacceptable. Anybody coming with any act of ibadah, and any act of ibadah means anything which has, let me figure out how to say this in English, a religious intention, okay? In Arabic we say that with which the pleasure of Allah is sought, or that with which closeness to Allah is sought. So it's a broad definition. So if Muslims say, okay, we think the Prophet may have been born on the 9th or the 13th or the 14th or something of Sha'ban or whatever month it was, Rabi al-Awwal, I guess, let's all go to the masjid and remember Rasulullah. Unacceptable. Unacceptable because the Prophet would have taught us this. And he didn't. And it's deen. Okay, it's not road building, it's not engineering, it's deen. If you go to the masjid, you appoint a certain night to go to the masjid based on this type of an event, then this is deen. Now that's not the same as saying, you know what, let's have a class in the masjid, what's best for everybody? Okay, I think Wednesday is good, let's have a... No, I'm not saying that's a bid'ah, that's fine. Because a halafa in the masjid with the wings of the angels coming down over you, this is a good deed at any time. And if you just get together and decide on Wednesday for convenience or for whatever, alhamdulillah, nobody can say that's bid'ah. Because this is part of Islam. Get in the masjid to learn Allah's book and to learn the deen. That's not the same thing. Word. And if the people who call themselves Sufis, because of what this word includes. Now, I'm not saying every single person who says I'm Sufi is a mushrik or a mubtada. That's not the case. But Rasulullah, and where any doubt or difficulty or ambiguity remains, then it is the understanding, the practice, and the aqidah of those three generations praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's really time for Isha here, so inshallah I have to go. Perhaps I'll take back in later. Salaamu alaykum.